igual de hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo and Dan Novak. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first,
the Wikimedia Foundation is appealing the decision of a court in Moscow demanding that it remove information related to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The foundation owns the website Wikipedia, which many people use to get information. The organization argues that people have a right to know the facts of the war. A Moscow court fined the Wikimedia Foundation $88,000 for refusing to remove what it called disinformation from Russian-language Wikipedia articles about the war. Disinformation is false information spread knowingly and often secretly in order to influence public opinion or hide the truth. Stephen Laporte is a lawyer representing the Wikimedia Foundation. He said in a statement, "This decision implies that well-sourced, verified knowledge on Wikipedia that is inconsistent with Russian government accounts constitutes disinformation." Wikipedia is one of the few remaining major Russian language information providers for Russians. The government has placed severe restrictions on media in Moscow. The government is targeting information that is vital to people's lives in a time of crisis, Laporte said. "We urge the court to reconsider in favor of everyone's rights to knowledge access and free expression." The Moscow court said that what it considers disinformation on Wikipedia is a risk to public order in Russia. The court added that the foundation, which is based in San Francisco in the American state of California, was operating inside Russia. Russian officials brought charges against the Wikimedia Foundation under a law about the failure to delete banned information. The Wikipedia appeal argues that removing information is a violation of human rights. It said Russia has no control over the Wikimedia Foundation. Wikipedia articles are written and edited by volunteers. Ukraine says it will fight to the end to reclaim the territory that Russian forces have occupied. The country has repeatedly asked Western nations for more help to fight Russia. President Vladimir Putin and Russian officials do not use the words war or invasion. They call it a special military operation aimed at preventing the mistreatment of Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine. Ukraine and its Western supporters deny Russia's claims that Russian speakers were mistreated. Officials say Russian forces have committed war crimes, including killings, torture, and rape in places such as Bucha. Russia says the claimed evidence of war crimes is made up of false material. Officials say Ukraine and its Western supporters have spread disinformation about Russian forces.
The Circle of Life was on live display
with the help of some little children and young turtles in the American state of New Jersey. A group of kindergartners returned 17 young turtles to the wild in the coastal wetlands of a town called Stone Harbor. The turtles had been found as eggs in the bodies of their mothers, all killed by cars traveling through the animals' habitat. The release was part of a program that has saved thousands of turtles and has returned them to the wild over the past 25 years. The turtles were either raised from eggs or were themselves rescued from roads, storm drains, or other dangerous places over the years. "It is a great community connection," said Lisa Ferguson. Ferguson is the director of research and conservation at the Wetlands Institute. It operates the program jointly with Stockton University and Stone Harbor Schools. The program shows how conservation works and that everyone has a part to play, from adults down to kindergarten students, Ferguson told the Associated Press. The turtle release took place during a busy day of turtle activity. June is egg-laying season on the New Jersey coast. Turtles come out of the wetlands onto dry land to lay their eggs. The open area is far more dangerous for the turtles, as they are hunted by other animals. But the even greater threat is automobiles. "We lose 550 adult females each year to road kills," Ferguson said of the area in southern New Jersey. Wetlands Institute cares for injured turtles. It also collects eggs from those killed on the road. Experts at the organization incubate the eggs at 30 degrees Celsius. This ensures they will develop into females. Stockton University also incubates eggs and cares for the turtles in the first year of their lives. When they have grown enough in the first year, they are released into the wetlands surrounding the institute. Kindergartners from Stone Harbor Schools get to know the turtles from their start in their shells. The young students name the turtles and draw pictures of them. They raise money for turtle care through the sale of tasty treats. Then it comes time to set the beloved turtles free to seek their future where they belong. Some children quickly and happily picked up the turtles and took them to the water. Other children were not as sure they wanted to touch the young animals or their muddy habitats. But every child seemed very pleased as the turtles made their way into the water. I'm Ana Mateo.
President Joe Biden's administration is considering new rules on federal financing of public charter schools. Charter schools are different from traditional public schools. They operate similarly to private schools, but still receive money from the government. The National Alliance for Public Charter Schools says that charter schools are a public school of choice. They are free to attend like other public schools. Charters are given more freedom than traditional public schools in operations and development of curriculum. They are not governed by local school boards and are free from many state and local regulations. To get permission to operate, a school must establish a charter promising to meet certain academic standards. The Federal Charter Schools Program gives money for the planning and design of new charter schools, also called startups. The administration's proposed new rules would not affect existing charter schools, but new charter schools seeking federal money would have to meet new requirements. For example, the federal government would give priority to charter schools that work with local school districts. The new rules would also block for-profit charter schools from receiving government financing. For-profit charter schools are controversial because they are operated by for-profit companies. The Biden administration has been very critical of for-profit charter schools, arguing that public money should not go to for-profit companies.
Supporters of charter schools say it is good they have more freedom in what and how to teach. But critics argue that charter schools should be supervised by state and local governments. They also argue that public money for charter schools takes such support away from traditional public schools. The administration is requiring new charter schools to prove there is demand for their school. They also need to prove they would not worsen school segregation, a major criticism of charter schools. A 2017 study by the Associated Press found that 17% of charter schools are made up of at least 99% minority students. Just 4% of traditional public schools are 99% minority students. Opponents of the new rules for the Federal Charter Schools Program say they would limit charter school growth. They argue that the new requirements are too difficult to meet. But Assistant Education Secretary Roberto Rodriguez argued that there should be more supervision of how charter schools are funded. In an interview with Chalkbeat last week, he said that 15% of charter schools that received federal startup money never opened. He said that cost the federal government $174 million. The Washington Post editorial board published an article in April critical of the administration's new rules, calling them a sneak attack. It argues that the rules are designed to squelch charter growth. Nina Rees is the president of the National Alliance. She said, "Traditional schools may be under-enrolled, but parents are looking for more than just a seat for their child. They want high-quality seats." Rees' organization says charters currently enroll more than 3.4 million students. That number represents about 7% of all public school students. Charter schools have support across political parties. Research has also shown they have improved over the last several years and sometimes outperform traditional publics. But many charters also have had mixed success. An upcoming decision by the Supreme Court could also change how charter schools operate. Many states, like Maine, offer voucher programs. This is a program in which the government provides money or vouchers to families for attendance at a private school of their choice. Private schools are not operated by the government and cost money to attend.
A law in Maine challenged in the Supreme Court makes it illegal for families to use the money to attend a private school that is religion-based. That could lead all states with voucher programs to include religious schools. It is illegal in the United States for the government to directly fund religious schools and other religious institutions because of the separation of church and state in the U.S. Constitution. Legal scholars say that raises the question of if religious schools are included in voucher programs, could religious schools be included in charter programs? Religious schools' enrollment has decreased in recent years. They may see religious charters as a way to increase enrollment again. Some legal experts say that because charter schools are not officially operated by the government, they should be permitted to be religious. A paper in the conservative Manhattan Institute for Policy Research argues religious charter schools are not only constitutionally permissible in most states, but where they are permissible, they may not be prohibited. But charter schools in most states are still defined as public, meaning they cannot be religious, and many supporters of charter schools hope that they remain non-religious. The bottom line is, charter schools, as public schools, can never be religious institutions, Reese said in Chalkbeat. And anyone who says differently is flat out wrong. I'm Dan Novak.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
On today's National Parks Journey, we explore a unique landscape in the North Central United States.
The land is big and mostly flat. There are endless fields of corn, wheat, and soybeans. Colors of green and gold paint the earth for kilometers. But as we travel west, the farmland gives way to wild grasses. It grows tall here, under a huge blue sky. Farther on, however, the grass becomes much shorter. A strong, dry wind blows continuously from the west. Suddenly, the land is torn and rocky, dry and dusty. The green is gone. Now we are surrounded by light reds and browns. Purple and gold hues can be seen as well. All around are broken, disorganized forms. There are sharp walls of rocks and hills and valleys of all sizes and shapes. Welcome to Badlands National Park in the state of South Dakota.
Hundreds of thousands of years ago, this whole area was grassland. Then, forces of nature destroyed the grass in some parts. Water and ice cut into the surface of the earth, splitting open some of its oldest rocks. Nature beat at the rocks, wearing them away. The result is one of the strangest sights, a place of otherworldly beauty. Altogether, the Badlands cover more than 15,000 square kilometers. About 10% is part of the national park. The area is a study in extremes. Temperatures in the summer have been as high as 46 degrees Celsius. In the winter, they have dropped to as low as 41 degrees below zero. Life in the Badlands is difficult. Its name comes from the Lakota Native Americans. They called the area Mako Sika, or Land Bad, because of the extreme temperatures and harsh landscape.
The term Badlands has come to be used for areas where soft rock is eroded in a very dry climate. Looking at a rock wall in the Badlands is like looking back through time. The layers and colors in the Badlands' strange formations were formed over millions of years. The long history of the Badlands began some 65 million years ago, around the time the dinosaurs died out. A huge sea covered the middle of North America. It was drying up. The land at the bottom of the sea was black shale rock. That shale is now at the bottom of the Badlands. The next level of rock is from what geologists call the Oligocene epoch. That period began about 37 million years ago. At that time, the Badlands area was warm and wet. A jungle grew there. A large number of warm-blooded animals lived in the jungle. Some of these animals were buried in the mud left behind by floods. Over millions of years, their bodies turned to rock. These fossil remains are a record in stone of what ancient animals looked like. The Badlands holds the world's richest collection of fossils from the Oligocene epoch. The area contains fossils from rhinos, horses, and huge cats. Because of this evidence here, we know that the period was great for mammals. Their total population worldwide increased greatly, and they grew in body size to take over the land left by the dinosaurs. About 28 million years ago, the environment of North America became much drier and cooler. The jungle disappeared. The land in the center of the continent became a prairie. A prairie is a large open area of grassland. The prairie here is one of the world's largest.
The Badlands were created on the western edge of this great prairie. They started to take shape as rain, wind, snow, and ice beat down on the land. The rain and ice tore deep cuts in the soft earth. Over time, they became wider and deeper. The wind dried the earth and blew away the topsoil. Today, rain comes to the Badlands mostly in sudden, fierce storms. Often, the area's rivers are cooked dry by the hot sun and wind. Yet, when it rains, the rivers flood. Their waters cut even deeper into the soft earth. The Badlands are very dry, but they are not a desert. They are filled with many living things. There are short native grasses and wildflowers. The national park is home to many animals: bison, bighorn sheep, and prairie dogs live here. Prairie dogs are small animals that dig tunnels in the earth and live underground. Every living thing in the Badlands must be able to survive the extreme conditions. That includes the humans who have called the area home. Several hundred years ago, the Sioux tribe of Native Americans lived all around the Badlands. At the time, the Badlands were rich with animals. There were wolves and bears, bighorn sheep and deer. The most important animal to the Sioux, however, was the bison. They look like huge, hairy, wild cattle. The Sioux way of life was completely organized around hunting bison. They used every part of the animal. They ate the meat. They made clothing and tents from its fur and skins. They used the bones as tools. They even boiled the feet to make a sticky substance to hold things together.
White settlers who came west also hunted bison. In fact, they hunted bison until very few remained. They also planted crops where the bison had once fed. In time, the Sioux way of life on the Great Plains came to an end. The settlers and the federal government did not respect Native American cultures. The government expected the Sioux Indians to learn to farm. But the Badlands' harsh environment was not good farmland. With few bison left to hunt, the Indians were sent to live on a reservation next to the Badlands area. The Badlands became a national monument in 1939. Congress declared it a national park in 1978. More than 1 million people visit Badlands National Park each year.
The park is now a protected area for bison. The National Park Service moved bison back into the Badlands. The animals are doing well. So are the bighorn sheep, foxes, coyotes, golden eagles, and prairie dogs. Most of the wild animals must be watched from a distance, especially the bison. The Park Service says a full-grown bison can weigh as much as a small car. It can run faster than a horse. And it can become angry and dangerous easily. Today, of course, the history of the Badlands continues to be written. As measured in geological time, the Badlands are being destroyed rapidly. The area, with its unusually soft rock, is being worn away at a rate of 1 centimeter per year. In a few more million years, the Badlands will be worn away forever. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.